your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back, continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Jordan Roiburn. He is the founder and editor of The Daily Gold. Jordan also joins me pretty much on a weekly basis to discuss what he sees in the charts, mostly focused on precious metals. And Jordan, what I want to focus on in this segment is recapping a recent article that you posted to your subscribers, and I believe for free on your site, that talks about a new low in gold stocks would be a strong buy signal. You look back at a couple other markets and realize that when we are in the scenario that we're in right now, where gold has been kind of muddling along sideways, but you can still argue is in a bull market, usually we get a false retest and a false new low before it really starts to take off. Please take us through what you found in your research.
Okay, Corey. Well, what I'm looking at here is I'm looking at some markets which historically offer very good comparisons to where the gold stocks have been and where they are. And this is something that I believe we've talked about once or twice on your program in recent months. And essentially what I'm getting at here is I'm looking at, okay, what were the other mega bear markets throughout history? And when I'm talking about a mega bear market, I'm talking about something that declined for more than 2.5 years and over 80% in terms of price. There's a lot of markets that, small markets that do have 80% declines, but they tend not to last that long. They tend to last maybe 2 years or even a year and a half or so. But anyway, so when I look at that criteria, I found that there were three markets, and there might be more, but there's three that I focus on that are very similar to where gold stocks are right now and where they have been. And that's first the S&P 500 during the Great Depression, Thailand in the mid to late 90s, and then housing stocks, which had a bear market from 2005 to 2009. And all three of those markets followed this pattern where you had the mega bear market, and then coming out of it, they basically had a sharp rebound, but it didn't last longer than 6 months or a year at the longest. And then that gave way to a correction and consolidation period, which lasted quite a bit longer than the first leg up. It lasted at least 18 months, and Thailand's was a little bit longer than 2 years, actually. What's interesting is in all three of those cases, the low point in terms of price during their correction and consolidation marked a 2-year low. And looking at the S&P 500 and housing, they actually, at the end of their correction and consolidation period, they made a false new low. So they made this technical breakdown when they were 18, 19, 20 months in around that time. And they made this false breakdown to a new low, which was a 2-year low. However, that false breakdown was a massive bear trap because it marked basically the second best buying opportunity, with the first best basically being the low at the end of the bear market, the end of that mega bear market. So, you know, looking at, you know, obviously gold stocks have been consolidating for quite a while, and if they break to new lows, conventional technical analysis would tell you that's a breakdown. That's a sell signal. However, you know, that you have to look at some other things. You have to look at history. And what history is telling us is when you come out of a mega bear market, Corey, there's just not that much sellers left to push prices that much lower. And so that's why you can sometimes see this pattern where you have a sharp rebound, but then after that you have a correction and consolidation that it lasts quite a while, and then towards the end it can kind of, you know, break support and make this false new low. And gold stocks, and specifically I'm looking at the Huey Gold Bugs Index, because that's a pure gold stock index. Obviously, I like to look at GDX too, but GDX has a few too many royalty companies in the index, which has made it quite a bit stronger than it would be if it was just comprised of gold producing companies like the Huey is. And I think depending on where we are right now, I mean, it could be 8 or 9% for the Huey to get down and test that December 2016 low. But I think the odds are very good that the Huey is going to break that low. And then some of these ETFs and other indexes, you know, they could come down and retest that 2016 low. Maybe some of them will break below it. Maybe some of them won't. But the Huey specifically, I'm looking for the Huey to break below that. And history is telling us that there's a very good chance that if it does indeed break that 2016 low, that that breakdown could be a massive bear trap. And that is a really strong buy signal that really could mark the next low and the next point that we're going to get a rebound, but then a rebound that will continue to make new highs and higher highs, unlike the rebounds we've had over the past 18 months.
Okay, so for the Huey, you're looking more around that 160 level. The Huey, as we're recording this, is around the 178 level. So it is about a 10-11% decline. As you mentioned here, though, Jordan, a decline below this level usually brings in some buying. I know it's contradictory. As much as we've talked about needing to break out to the upside, what you're seeing, maybe in summary, is that if we have one of these temporary breakdowns, that can also encourage bargain hunters into the sector.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You have to think in terms of common sense, which I know is difficult because when you're looking at markets, you're looking at certain data, you're looking at certain indicators. But what I mean by common sense is it would be quite a bit different if gold stocks had been rising, you know, this consolidation had come after a multi-year rise. But this consolidation, this correction period, sure, it came after that big rise at the beginning of 2016, but we're still way, way off the all-time highs. And if you look at gold stocks, I mean, remember, we've talked about this before several times. I've written about it. At that 2016 low, we're talking about gold stocks relative to the S&P 500. We're basically at a 90-year low or at an all-time low. Relative to gold, the gold stocks had never been cheaper. I mean, if you look at things like price to cash flow or book value, they were trading at 40, 50-year lows at least. I mean, we don't even have the data to go back further than that. So it's just the common sense tells you that when we made that low 2 years ago, that was a historic low. The valuations were just incredible as far as, I mean, we're not even talking about multi-decade lows in some cases. We're talking about a century lows or all-time lows. And so it's just, it doesn't make sense. I mean, when you look at that and the market has this big rally and then it consolidates and, you know, maybe it sells off and makes that new low, but it doesn't make sense that the market would then crash again after this breakdown, given the valuations that it's come from, given how oversold it was just a couple of years ago. Again, that's just so much different, Corey, than if you had a breakdown from a consolidation that followed a bull market or that followed a market that had trended higher for 2 or 3 years. It's just, that's the common sense thing that we have to think about. Yes, there was this big rebound in 2016, but it only lasted 6 months. And that came after a devastating mega bear market. And that's why you see it makes sense that, you know, this pattern in this false breakdown, they follow a clear pattern. And that comes, you know, a little while after this devastating bear market, because if you had a false breakdown, or a breakdown, I should say, following a consolidation that followed a very strong market, it's a much different thing. I mean, for example, let's look at the stock market. Let's say the stock market were to consolidate for a while and then it broke below the support and the range. Well, it's very unlikely that that would be a false breakdown because the market's been trending higher for years and years. And so therefore, there's a lot of potential sellers in the market that will pile on after that breakdown. Whereas if we look at where the gold stocks are here and now and where they were just a couple of years ago, there's not that much sellers left in the market. So the market doesn't have enough selling power to really drive the breakdown that much lower. And I mean, Corey, and what I should say is, and that's why in layman's terms, that's the setup for a false breakdown. And that's why it can happen, you know, out of this larger setup. And what I was going to say, Corey, is you often talk about it. There's not a lot of interest in this market. I mean, not that many people are interested in it. So there's not that much selling power left in the market. And that's why I think it could be really susceptible to a false breakdown here over the next month or two.
Okay. Interesting comments there, Jordan. And I know we keep on wanting the breakout to happen to the upside, but again, a temporary breakdown, that could, who knows, bring in some new buyers. The fact of the matter is this range-bound trade is very boring and everybody's waiting for some sort of a break, whether up or down. Jordan, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend, and I will be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.